Hello everybody, Mwangi here from the displacedafrican.com, and in this slide presentation I'm going to show you how I tested my cash flow muse. Now today, as you can see from the clock, is Tuesday the 11th of November 2008, and today I actually released my podcasting tutor, the product, which is Conversations with Podcasting Gurus. So if you head on up to mypodcastingtutor.com and check it out. The product should be up there by now. But what I thought I'd do is I'd continue with my 4-hour work week journey, showing you how I tested my cash flow muse, and then later on I'll show you how I created the muse itself. And I've made a lot of mistakes over the past few months. So I want to share them with you, share some of my triumphs, so that hopefully you can do the same or possibly even do better. Now, this slide presentation, I'm using a software called SlideRocket. Now, SlideRocket is alright. I mean, I'm using the free version, so there's a few setbacks. Like, for example, I can only use SlideRocket. Now, I can import a PowerPoint presentation, but I can't export one because this is the free versions. But it's an okay. It's worth testing. If you're bored of the conventional PowerPoint, just go to SlideRocket.com, and it's an alright piece of software. I don't mind it, but it's not the best. If I definitely recommend you stick to the normal PowerPoint and just get a few more templates, because that's the main thing I like about this, is that is the templates and the fonts, and that it has a sense of novelty to it. So I'll get to it. How I tested my cash flow muses by Mwangi Njenja from the Displaced African. Now, I created this slide presentation about maybe 4 weeks ago, so I haven't seen it in quite a while. So as we go through it together, I'll be remembering stuff that I did in the past. Okay, so the first thing is I actually tested two cash flow muses. Now, number one was a product that was already in the market, and number two was a product I was thinking might have potential in the market. And I'll get into more depth about the two. So the first thing I tested was Blog Mastermind. Now, as a lot of you will know, the blog, thedisplacedafrican.com, was I actually started it after joining blogmastermind.com. All the traffic I've gotten, all the success I've had, has been as a result of the Blog Mastermind program. I'm a very big believer in it. I've graduated from it. I've gone through all the lessons, and it's an absolutely phenomenal course. I have no doubt in my mind about it. Now, here's the thing. Yaro had a Google AdWords campaign that was already running for Blog Mastermind. So what I thought I would do in an act of creativity was I thought I'd take his Google AdWords campaign and see if I could translate the campaign over to Yahoo Sponsored Search, which is the Yahoo version of Google AdWords, and see if I could get some traffic and possibly some money. Because, I mean, his Google AdWords campaign was obviously working because he'd been doing it for a while, and you know it wasn't just restricted to one keyword; it was quite a number of keywords. So I thought, if I translate it over to Yahoo Sponsored Search, I might have, you know, at least one or two successes. And the affiliate program for Blog Mastermind is such that if you sign up someone, like for example, right now, to become a part of the Blog Mastermind. Okay, actually not right now, because he discontinued this and he's gonna recontinue it in a few months. But previously, it used to be that, like about a month ago, that you'd pay $97 a month. For every month that you're a part of the program. And if I'm an affiliate, I'd actually get half of that. So if it's, let's assume it's $100, I'd get $50 every single month, as long as you keep paying if you use my affiliate link. And I think that was a great course, because all I'd need is maybe 5 or 6, and I'm earning $500 every single month from Blog Mastermind. So I thought to myself, if I can take his campaign over, maybe make like 10 sales, you know, just like that, I have $500 in my pocket, and I have some cash flow going, and I can use it for other things. So I thought it's definitely worth a shot. So here's how I did it. I went to Google AdWords and I used the keywords tool. And what I did with the keyword tool, actually, I'll go through all the tools I used. I went to Google AdWords and I used the keyword tool. I went to ask.com and used the alternative terms tool. And I went to the keyword discovery tool. And I'll quickly show you all these tools just so that. So let's open up a new tab here. And I actually have a little tab for keyword research tools. So I'll show you the tools. That's the Google Keyword Research Tool, which you can find at. I will open up Notepad as well. So if you want to open up this tool, what you do is you come to. All right, let's increase the size of this font, shall we? Okay, go to adwords.google.com/select/keyword-tool-external. And what this does is it gives you related keywords. When you put in a keyword here, it gives you related keywords based on what other people have searched for. So, like for example, let's take blogging for cash, which is something that Yaro Starek uses in his Google AdWords campaign. So you click here on get keywords, and of course you verify, you put those letters in there. And you can also do this for website content. This is a great tool. So you see, first of all, you see the approximate number of searches for the month, and you see the approximate in general. I mean, this is for the previous month. This is in general. So this is over a number of months. And it basically gives you keywords to consider. So you see here a long, long list. And these are all things that people have actually looked for. So these are not speculation on the part of Google. These are things that people have actually looked for and things that people... And they give you... Okay, apparently this tool isn't very accurate, but it gives you a pretty good idea of how many people are looking for a particular term. And this green bar tells you how many people are competing for that keyword. So as you can see, great, great tool. The other tool that I used was ask.com, which, you know, self-explanatory, www.ask.com. And all these tools Tim talks about in the 4-Hour Workweek, except for one of them, which I'll show you. So that's ask.com. Now, assuming you do the same thing, so let's take blogging for cash, click search. Now, what ask.com does is they give you related searches. That's the tool that you want, because what you basically want is a long list of potential keywords that you could use. So that's another great tool, and I used that as well. And the final tool that I used was, I learned about this from the Andrew and Daryl Grant website, which I'll quickly show you. So that's andrewanddaryl.com. So let me write that URL for you. That's www.andrewanddaryl.com. So andrewanddaryl.com, great website that teaches you how to, you know, sell ebooks online, and I think I've spoken about it in the past. And the tool that they showed me was the keyword suggestion tool, which you can find by going to keyworddiscovery.com/search. So let's put that down. And you pretty much do the same thing. So put in the image code, SSYB, and then blogging for cash. Click search, see what comes up. Wait for it to load. Okay, here we go. And there are some key potential keywords. And of course, this service is an offshoot of WordTracker, which is another phenomenal tool that I used. www.wordtracker.com or .org. And I'm sure if you've ever heard of keyword research, you know of WordTracker. WordTracker is a phenomenal, phenomenal tool, very highly recommended from very many corners of the keyword research and pay-per-click world. So that's Word. Did I copy that URL? That's wordtracker.com. Great tool. This is one, the definitive tool. It's about $20 a month, so it's definitely cost effective. Okay, so I've quickly shown you the tools, so let's get back to the slide presentation. Okay, so that's what I did. I went to the Google AdWords tool, I went to ask.com, and I used the keyword discovery tool. I searched for all the words that came up when I used terms like make money blogging, blogging for cash, pro blogging, etc., etc. And if you want ideas on how to come up with keywords, I've shown you some tools which give you potential keywords. And you can also go through Perry Marshall's book, The Google AdWords Definitive Guide to Google AdWords, Or just be creative. Just sit down and brainstorm all the potential words that someone could look for if they were looking for to make money blogging. So just list, come up with a great big list, and then go to the Google AdWords keyword tool, see what comes up for that. Go to ask.com, see what comes up for that. Go to the keyword discovery tool, see what comes up for that. And don't be surprised if you come up with hundreds and thousands of words. Apparently a good campaign is a campaign that has either hundreds or thousands of keywords. So, you know, definitely that's definitely something worth studying. Okay. So, as I said, I used my knowledge of the world of blogging to come up with keywords and use the tools to come up with even more. Now, I ended up with a list of about 100 to 300 search terms, and this is one of the reasons it's recommended that you select a topic area you're either intimately involved with or know a lot about. It's just for the keyword research thing. You don't want to be starting from scratch. I know quite a bit about blogging because I've actually done it full-time for 9 months, so I know about the nuances, I know about a lot of the issues, I know about social media, I know about podcasting, I know about getting traffic, I know about article marketing, I know a lot about the nuance. So choose something where you understand the nuance. So, you know, choose something that plays to your strengths so that you have a higher chance of winning. Okay. So what I did is once I came up with those 100 keywords, and I actually did this over the course of, I think it was 1 or 2 days, I went to Google and I searched for each and every single keyword, and I saw what keyword he had. And whenever a keyword came up with Yaro's ad, I looked at the ad he had, and I took down the headline, the sub-headline, and the URL, and I just copied them word for word. So, like for example, blogging for cash. Like let me show you as a quick example exactly what I did. So let's go to Google. So blogging for cash. So I'd go to Google, type blogging for cash. And then I'd look to see if Yaro had a link here. Let's assume, I think Yaro has since taken them down, but let's assume that I was taking it down for Yaro. So what I'd do is I'd come, copy down the headline, copy down the way he wrote down the URL, copy down the headline, copy down the subheadline word for word for word. And I'd pretty much, what I wanted to do is, like for the blogging for cash, I'd translate it over exactly as he did it in Google. I hope that's not too abstract. If it is, just ask me some questions and I can easily clarify. And so that's what I did for all 300 keywords. Now, it wasn't as much work because after a while, trends appeared. Like, there'd be like a group of like 10 keywords that would all have this exact same ad, exact same headline, exact same subheadline. So I ended up with about maybe 3 or 4 ads for all these keywords. And a lot of these keywords I ended up not using. Okay, so I ended up with dozens and dozens of keywords and about 3 or 4 ads that were associated with them. And I copied the campaign word for word on Yahoo sponsored search, and I switched on the ads. So here was my result. My result was absolute failure. Absolutely no one clicked on the ads, and I only spent about $2 after 2 days of the ads being up. So I didn't get any sign-ups, hardly anyone clicked on the ads, I got nothing. I pretty much failed. Now, here's what I did right. What I did right is I selected a niche I was familiar with and I was involved with, which is blogging. I did my keyword research. I was willing to experiment. Now, one beautiful thing about the internet is that you can experiment quickly and cheaply and cut your losses early. So I cut my losses early when the experiment did not work. I mean, all I did is spend $2 and maybe spent 2 days, and I got to see whether or not this thing would work for me. And, you know, I got to see it didn't work, and if it had worked, imagine, for 2 days of work, I would have made $500. So, I mean, definitely, I did quite a few things right. Now, here's what I'd recommend. Based on what I've studied, instead of copying the pay-per-click campaign, contact the owner of the information product and ask him if you can advertise his material on print media like magazines and so on and so forth, and use your affiliate link. And basically what I'd recommend you do is you take the copy. So like I'll show you the copy for Blog Mastermind. I'd recommend you, of course, you talk to the owner of the website before you go and do this, but let's take, for example, Blog Mastermind. Actually, I know the URL by heart. Let me just type it in for you. It is www.blogmastermind.com/coaching. Excuse me. Okay. And what I'd recommend you do is you take this copy, so you take this long sales page, and you just, of course, minus the videos, and just take it and pretty much paste it into a magazine. Just pull out an ad, take out an ad, and do that. Now, this tip, I've not personally done it, but where I heard this tip from was from, let me get back to it. I heard this tip from Gary Halbert and John Carlton, and you know, some great copywriters I listened to while I was preparing while I was going through this process. I studied a lot about copywriting from Gary Halbert, John Carlton, and stuff like that. So that's a technique that's definitely worth trying. So give it a shot. If you have any success, come leave me a comment and tell me how you go. Okay. Oops. Alright. Let's go back to the full screen, shall we? Alright. And let's continue. Okay. The test number two. Now, this is a product I was thinking of creating, a podcasting course. And before I go into this test, I just want to tell you, I just want to be a bit of a prophet, and I want to tell you that the product actually came out today. I actually released this product today, which is the 11th of November, I believe. Actually, I released it on Monday the 10th of November, and I'll quickly show you the website just so that you can check it out. So it's, of course, mypodcastingtutor.com. Now, this website I'll tell you right now, it's definitely gonna change. Because this is the page that I used to test my. This is the page that I used for the test, and don't worry, I'm gonna get to how I did all this in the future. It might actually be on the slide presentation or a bit in the future, but I'll get to it. So if you come down to mypodcastingtutor.com, you'll receive more information about that. The product is already out, so definitely check it out. Okay, so let's get to how I got to this place. Okay, so I was thinking of creating a podcasting course. So the first thing I did is I went and bought Perry Marshall's Definitive Guide to Google AdWords, which I highly, highly, highly recommend. And the basic version is pretty much all you need. Only get the audio version if you're an audio learner or one of those people who likes to learn on the go. And one of those people who likes listening to seminar footage. I mean, I'm that type of learner, so for me the audio stuff was great, but the basic version is more than enough to get you started, more than enough. It's extremely comprehensive. Okay, so my second test was I decided to try an opt-in page approach. Now, Tim recommends two approaches. One is you create an actual sales page so that you see if people would actually buy. And then, like, when people go to click on order now, you have a message like, we are out of stock, so come in future. And that way you can get to see how many people would actually buy based on the proposition. But instead, I chose to use the opt-in page approach, which is people come to that opt-in page, which you just saw. And I tell them, you know, I'm creating a course. I tell them what the course is going to be about. And I tell them, if you're interested in it, sign up. And when you sign up, I'm going to give you, in this case, it was top 10 tips to keep in mind if you want to have a popular podcast. So if you want those, put your name and your email address in there. And I'll definitely let you know once the course is up and ready for sale. So that's what I decided to do. Okay, let me just go to the previous slide. Okay, so this is what I did. I went to I bought my domain name and I had, of course, the Displaced African is hosted on Dreamhost, so I went to Dreamhost, bought the domain, mypodcastingtutor.com, and I also bought mypodcasttutor.com, and I hosted them both on my Dreamhost account. And what I did is I recorded an audio that plays automatically when people show up. I'll show it to you. I'm very sorry for all these changes, but I really want to make sure I show you everything so that you can actually see how it looks in the real world. So that's the audio player right there. So this is, of course, hosted with Amazon Simple Storage Service, and I just recorded a brief 2-minute message telling people, welcome to my site, this is what I'm offering, and put in your first name and your email address into the boxes if you're interested. So I recorded an audio that plays automatically when people show up, and I hosted all of this with the Amazon Simple Storage Service, which is a great, great service. So I'll quickly show you Amazon Simple Storage Service. I think it's www.aws.amazon.com. Alright, now. The best way to do it, just go to Google and type Amazon S3. Because it's called Amazon Simple Storage Service, and of course that's S3. So, aws.amazon.com. Oh, so I was on the right track. /S3. So let's copy and paste that, shall we? Okay. I did not want to be copied. So to check out Amazon Simple Storage Service, come to aws.amazon.com/S3. And just to put it in perspective for you, I've been using the service for a couple of months, and when there's no one really downloading what you have, I have like maybe 4 or 5 or 6 gigabytes of stuff on there, and I pay about maybe 10 cents a month, 10 cents, 50 cents a month. And once things really move up, like when you're getting like thousands and thousands of people hitting you, your server won't collapse, and you'll only end up paying like maybe $100 a month just to store all your videos, store all your audio stuff. So it's a great service that I'm pretty much using for everything. So I recorded that audio. I hosted it with Amazon S3, and pretty much all I did is I used all the testimonials and media appearances from my pre-existing blog, which is The Displaced African, which is of course how you know about this video, from my podcast, from my social networks, from my forums. So if anyone said anything nice about me anywhere, I collected it and I put it on there. Even when people wrote me nice emails, I asked them, could I use this email? And as you will see, I took all of that. And I put all the media I've been in right here. Like I've been in Australian newspaper, Kenyan newspapers. I've been featured on the Blog Mastermind sales page. So I put all the stuff, and I put some testimonials for me. And there's a picture of Derek Ashong, who I interviewed for my podcast. And I just put some great testimonials on there along the side. And that was just more for credibility. And that's pretty much how I created my sales page. Okay. So let's move on to the next slide, shall we? Alright. Okay. So here's my first mistake with all of this. My first mistake was I had been using Rent-A-Coder for many, many months. Now, ever since I started blogging, I had been using Rent-A-Coder. And what I decided to do is I would try a site I had never used before, which was getafreelancer.com, to perform a task I had never done before, which is creating an opt-in page. So that was just crazy. Because what happened is I got this contractor, an Indian contractor, and what happened is I was very much in a hurry. I really wanted to get everything done at that point. I was very much in a hurry. And on Rent-A-Coder.com, there's an escrow system. So when you agree that someone is going to do a job for you, money enters into escrow, which is held by Rent-A-Coder, and then as soon as the job is complete, Rent-A-Coder releases the stuff. Now, if there's any dispute between you and the contractor, you can actually mediate it through Rent-A-Coder, and more often than not, they will side. Like in my case, any time I've gone into arbitration, it's always ended up on my side, you know, because I'm like, for example, what happens is, like, a coder decides that they're not gonna do the job, exactly as you described. They're gonna get creative with it. And so you go to the guys at Rent-A-Coder, you say, listen, I don't want this to end badly for any of us, but I cannot pay him for this job. I have spoken to him and told him I cannot pay him for this job. I do not want to keep any of the copyright, so please, don't charge any of us for this. Don't take out any points for this, but just say that the job was not completed and went through arbitration. And Rent-A-Coder actually does stuff like that. Now here's the thing, Get a Freelancer does not. Get a Freelancer is like a bus stop where contractors and, the contractors meet with the people who are offering jobs, and that's it. Get a Freelancer does not mediate for you. You can put money into escrow. That's an option. Get a Freelancer does have escrow, but they don't have as much protections for the buyers as Rent-A-Coder does. But don't let me knock Get a Freelancer. Get a Freelancer has way more contractors. It's a fantastic service. I've had nothing but good times since this time. So Get a Freelancer is a great service. So I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying I understood Rent-A-Coder. And so what ended up happening was, I ended up arguing with this guy. This guy held my website for ransom. He called me all sorts of foul names. I mean, if you want me to go into it, I can just ask me some questions in the comment section, but it was crazy. So, of course, I had to discontinue working with him, and I had to get a second contractor. So I actually spent, to get this opt-in page up, actually ended up spending $287 instead of the $125 I originally intended on spending. Now, you can actually get something like this done, to be honest with you, for $50. So, I mean, as you can see, I went above and beyond what I should have done. If I went to Rent-A-Coder and I was slick about it and I went to the right people, I could have gotten this done for $50. So, that was my first mistake, is not going where I'd succeeded in the past, trying to be creative with it. Okay. So, what did you get when you opted into my email newsletter? I promised you a top 10 list where I told you the top 10 things to keep in mind when you if you want a popular podcast, and I created a video course. And I'm not talking about a small video course. I'm talking about 17 videos on how to create a podcast. 17 videos on how to create a video podcast out of an audio podcast. I mean it was a very comprehensive thing. And one thing I also included as part of it was I included a survey so I could figure out what the market wanted. Like this email, when you opted into this, I probably sent you about maybe 5 or 6 or 7 emails, very, very deep with content, a lot of content, and just one survey where I asked you, what did you want to know about podcasting, how much would you be willing to pay, and stuff like that. And I actually got tips on how to do this from Yarrow Starak from Blog Mastermind, so thank you to Yarrow for that. Okay, so the result, of course, which I've been showing you all this time, is that web page that you're looking at right there. That was my opt-in page. Okay, and then the Google AdWords campaign. Okay, so let's see, the Google AdWords campaign. Let me read briefly through this. Okay, so what Tim recommends is the 4-hour work week, and one thing that also Perry recommends is you have ad groups. So you group words on the basis of words that are related to each other. And I actually won't go into these tips. Just get the book by Perry Marshall or watch his free videos. He talks about stuff in quotation marks, stuff in square brackets. He talks about negative keywords. So I won't go into these Google AdWords tips, but you know, I'll just say read the 4-hour work week for this, get yourself a free copy, watch Perry Marshall's free videos, or just buy their stuff. And they go into how to create a great Google AdWords campaign. So I use their tips. Okay, and the importance of negative keywords, again, I won't go into this. This is all spoken about by Perry Marshall and Timothy Ferris better than I ever will. But what I will do is I will link to this slide presentation so you can actually check it out and, you know, go over all these tips and, you know. Also, of course, I've linked to Perry Marshall's stuff in the 4-hour work week, so you shouldn't be lost. Okay. So, here are mistakes that I made with my Google AdWords campaign. Now, the first thing is I included Google AdSense words and the ad network ads, and the ad network ads when I created my ads. Now, when you create a Google AdWords campaign, you can choose for it to appear just in the Google search results. Like, for example, you can choose... You can choose for your ads to just only appear there, or you could also choose for your ads to appear, I'll show you my website, on the AdSense network. Now the AdSense network is all these little websites that have Google AdSense words, so you could actually choose to be on the network as well. So let me click on that. So, let me just wait for the AdSense ads to pop up. So, you can, for example, you can choose for you to appear on ads like that. You could also choose to appear on the Google network, and part of the Google network is ask.com. So, you could also choose to appear there, and there are a few other sites in the Google network. Now, my first mistake was including my ads in the Google AdSense ads network and the ad network of Ask.com and all these other ads, and I'll tell you why. The reason why is because what I should have done is I should have only appeared on the search results, and I should have optimized for that. So I should have made sure I'm getting the maximum click-through rate, the maximum opt-in rate before I extend my campaign out to the Google AdSense network and the ad network. Because the thing is, the Google AdSense network and the ad network actually gets you much worse click-through rate, much less people opting in. So you really want to, in using the 80-20 rule, you really want to make sure you expend all your efforts on on making sure that for the Google search results you're fully optimized there, then you can extend it out to other places. It's just like you should work on Google, the Google AdWords network first before you start going to the Yahoo sponsored search and others, because you'll just get the most traffic from the Google AdWords network. Okay. And all these are tips that come from Perry Marshall's, like create a separate ad groups for AdSense ads and for the ad network ads, because they perform worse, they get less click through. So yeah, those are some tips, and all these are in the slideshow, which you're going to look at a bit later on. Okay, so before testing your ads, again, make sure you pick up the definitive guides to Google AdWords from Perry Marshall, and definitely ask me questions in the comment section, and I'm going to link to this slide presentation, and I'm going to go through the stuff I've linked to in the past from Perry Marshall and Timothy Ferris. You're going to get a lot of tips from that as well. Okay, so what were the results? The results were combining the AdSense plus ad network plus search results impressions. I got 952,373 people who actually looked at my ad, and the number of clicks I got was 875. That's a click-through rate of 0.09, which is, To be blunt, that's absolutely terrible. I mean, a great click-through rate, we're talking about 1%, 3%, you know, 5%, that's a great click-through rate. So, I mean, this is like even less than a tenth of that. I think this is, I really don't want to do my maths badly, but I think this is close to one of a hundredth of it, but it's definitely, there's a huge room for improvement. Okay, now the number of people I got opting in was 48. The number of people who double opted in was 27. Now, that's a very low double opt-in rate. There should have been more people who... This should have been like 40 or something. I mean, this should have been like 44 rather than 19 people. Actually, is that 19 people? That is 20... 21. Yes, that is 21 people. That's almost half of the people who signed into my email newsletter didn't double opt-in. So... But in the end, I got 27 people who opted in, and as I speak right now, I'm releasing it with 32 people on the list, which isn't much, but it's enough. So I thought that was enough to justify my going through with it, because if I managed to get 27 people, and my click through rate was that bad, can you imagine if I doubled it, or I tripled it, or I quadrupled it? That's the way I was thinking about it, because my click through rate was terrible. There are a lot of impressions, so there's a lot of traffic going to those keywords. So I just thought it's enough to justify it. So let me go through with it. So definitely pay a visit to mypodcastingtutor.com. Ask me questions or give me suggestions in the forums in the comment section below. And as I said, I created this slide presentation on the 24th of October, and as I speak now, I've released the course, which is Conversations with Podcasting Gurus. So go to mypodcastingtutor.com, which I will show you yet again. So that is mypodcastingtutor.com for more information. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to an end. So I hope this video has been of use to you. Again, I'll be down to answer any questions. Thank you very much.